Ms. Weitz, another commentator in that report was saying that Israel is trying to give a message to the U.S. through these settlement expansions. It's trying to say you're being a bit too serious about the peace talks, and you should know that we are the ones who are going to decide this, and we're not going to stop settlements, and we are not interested in this two-state solution. Do you agree?
There may be some Israelis, even in the government, who are trying to do that. I don't think that's the general Israeli government policy. But we do have evidence, even of the recent visit of Secretary Kerry, of some of the Israeli officials objecting to the U.S. peace efforts as being, as they saw it, too aggressive. So I would not exclude that there are some Israelis that see this as trying to communicate that without the approval of the current Israeli government, we will not make any progress on the peace talks.
Kevin O'Bendon, do you think the United States is going to put enough pressure on Israel on the settlement issue?
No, I don't think it will, and it most certainly is a message that's coming from Tel Aviv. I mean, we can talk of what some Israelis think and so on. We're not talking about what a falafel salesman in Tel Aviv is thinking. We're talking about the policy, the direction, the action of the Israeli government. And it's not simply down to this government and this American administration. You see, in 2001, George W. Bush, who could be described as nothing other than a fervent friend of Israel, was silly enough in the eyes of Tel Aviv, dangerous enough in the eyes of the then Prime Minister Ariel Sharon, to talk of a roadmap to peace in the Middle East. He did this, Bush did this, in order to garner support for the forthcoming war on Afghanistan and then on Iraq. Ariel Sharon responded with a military incursion into the West Bank. And this is a classic pattern of government behavior in Tel Aviv, not just under Netanyahu, but under previous administrations. Mm-hmm. When they feel that they're being asked to do too much, they make the Palestinians pay, either through settlement expansions or through some kind of military aggression, be it against Gaza or be it against the West Bank. And this is what we're seeing now. And the pressure that they feel, the disquiet that they feel, is not limited to the Palestinian question. Let's cast our minds back to the end of last year. There was a hue and cry from Tel Aviv, which led to Netanyahu openly saying that he wanted to intervene in the American political process,
yes,
because of the advance towards some kind of talks, some kind of solution negotiated to the Iranian nuclear power issue. And so this is built in very, very deeply, beyond one or two government ministers, built in very deeply to the direction that the Israeli state and its government is taking.
Okay.
And despite
now, if I could just stop you
I do
there,
not believe that the Americans will take the hint.
Sorry for jumping in here. I'd just like to bring up a point that you raised there and put this next question to Mr. Weitz in Washington. Ms. Weitz, the thing is, it's a fact that the settlement constructions are illegal under international law. What must be done then to stop Israel from continuing these illegal settlement expansions, from illegally evicting Palestinian families? Should the UN step inside and do something about this? And do you think the growing boycott even campaign, both academically and economically, is helpful?
I don't think that the UN or the boycott campaign will have much of an influence on the current Israeli policies. I think that the U.S. strategy is to try and reassure Israel about its security, and the assumption is that if the Israelis feel more secure, they would be more willing to relax their concerns over occupied territories and so on. So the idea is, if you want to get the Israelis to agree to a two-state solution, to render to Palestinians land, then the best way to do that is to assure them that that wouldn't present a security problem. Some of them believe that that's, for example, what happened when they left the Gaza Strip. They withdrew and then they ended up with a worse security situation. So they were trying to assure them not that will not be the case.
Well, you say that the problem of security is something that Israel wants resolved. But we do have a comment by Israel's economy minister, and it's a quote here. He said a two-state solution will harm Israel's economy. It looks like for Israel, it's not just the matter of security. It's seeing the Israeli economy as well, and it just doesn't look, you know, doesn't think that a Palestinian state is going to work even for its economy. It's not just a matter of security here.
That's sort of a new argument. I have not heard that. I don't know how widespread that is in Israel. It's certainly something that we, the international community, could address. I mean, the U.S. and others would provide Israelis and Palestinians financial support, as was done in the case of the Israeli-Egyptian peace agreement, to make sure that people are compensated and they don't suffer any economic losses. So if that is a concern, it shouldn't be.
Kevin Abendon, do you think that if Israel is given, as it says itself, guarantees about its security problems, then the settlement issue can actually be resolved?
Certainly not. The issue isn't security. Quite simply isn't security. There has been no military threat of any substance to the state of Israel in the course of all of these years, of 20 years now, of talking about the Oslo peace process. In fact, the threat has gone exactly the other way. The 2006 war on Lebanon, the Operation Cast Lead against Gaza and the repeated attacks upon Gaza. The issue is not the security of Israel. The issue is whether they're prepared to grant the existence of a Palestinian state under any meaningful sense, and in any meaningful sense means that you have to confront the discriminatory nature of the state of Israel. Now, what I do think is happening is quite historically ironic, in that over these 20 years of the Oslo process, which is in effect dead, the continued settlement building has actually made any kind of Oslo settlement based in 1993 impossible. And now you're talking about, and the increasing number sections of Israeli opinion are beginning to recognize this, a one-state solution. Now, the real issue is, what's the nature of that one-state solution? Will it be a state in which Palestinians are surrounded by military encampments, by aggressive settlements, settlers who, for example, storm onto the top of Al-Aqsa Mosque? Will that be the one state, or will it be a state in which all the people within the borders of historic Palestine are guaranteed the same rights before the law? In other words, a non-apartheid state, one which challenges the idea of any form of racial supremacy. That's where the debate is moving to, and the issue of the settlements, perversely, is bringing that more and more to the fore. But one thing it certainly is not doing is resolving any issues of security for anybody, or bringing the phantom of a meaningful two-state solution any closer.
And just before we leave you, we are quickly running out of time. If you could quickly, Kevin, also tell us, do you think that Israel should be taking this boycott and divestment and sanctions campaign more seriously, and that it is going to affect the situation?
They are taking it seriously. They started off some years ago laughing about it, ignoring it. Then they attempted to smear it as in some way being anti-Semitic, as if the great movement against apartheid South Africa was racist because it opposed white minority rule. Now, Israeli government ministers, think tanks, institutes, businessmen and military figures are increasingly worried about the isolation of Israel. The Yes. American Association of Scholars recently voted to boycott, academically boycott Israel. This is a big breakthrough. The boycott is gaining, sympathy for the Palestinians is gaining, and crucially, we in the pro-Palestinian movement, such as the Global Campaign to Return to Palestine, are succeeding, I believe, in returning the question of Palestine and the rights of the Palestinians Yes. to the center of discourse around the Middle East, rather than other issues being used to distract us.
Thank you very much. Political activist and commentator Mr. Kevin Ovenden with us live from London. A big thank you to our guest in Washington as well, senior fellow with the Hudson Institute, Mr. Richard White. Thank you so much, everyone, for staying with us here for another edition of The Debate. From Michal Maleski, it's goodbye.